really good to be together here today. I want to share with you a little bit out of the Word of God. Then we're going to do something special today. We have a couple here called Vern and Priscilla Mullet. Why don't you want to lift your hand or stand or something right there? They've been married for 5 years, and today they wanted to renew their marriage vows. They wanted to do it in front of the church. And they picked this day because they were married on this day. So it's kind of an anniversary as well, and that's a blessing. And they just really wanted to make this part of our church family, to experience it and to bless them in that. So I'm going to share just for a few minutes, a little bit here today, and then we'll take part of this service today within the sermon to actually do those vows and make it a special day for them. So let's pray, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the things you've done in our midst, Lord God, for the wonderful testimonies of how you touch our lives and the way you heal your people, Lord, the way that you encourage us, the way that you guide us and you lead us by your Spirit. Lord, it's just, we're so full. We are so full of the things you've spoken to us today already. So I pray as we take this time now to look into your word, make it come alive to us, make it real and rich, and teach us some aspect of your heart, Lord. I ask you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like you to turn over to the book of, Matthew, I believe I want to go to. Actually, Luke. Luke 14, verse 25. I want to talk today about commitment. And I also wanted to say to Nicole, great, praise God for the insight that God gave you to pray for the marriages. I mean, that's an important thing. I mean, we live in a day where marriage is kind of pushed aside. It's left off in some cases, and sometimes people never get married, and sometimes when they do get married, they end up throwing the marriage away. And it's almost like we have forgotten the concept of commitment. And that's what I want to talk about today. Commitment. Really, if you think about it, nothing in this world happens without a commitment. I mean, think about it. I mean, how many here ever bought anything online? All right, so what is that? That's a commitment. You're telling somebody, I'm committing to sending you X number of dollars. And they're saying, I'm committing to ship this thing to your house. It's a commitment. And you do it knowing that somebody on the other end is going to respond and they're going to be faithful to their commitments. You know, how many of you would continue to shop on Amazon.com if every time you laid your credit card out there, nothing ever came? They said they were going to ship it. I see my address there, but nothing ever comes. Maybe you got a problem in your neighborhood. Maybe it did come. You know, who knows? But the point I'm making is there's this idea of commitment that you say, I'm going to do this, and they say, okay, I'm going to do that. Or you get a job and the guy says, if you come and work for me, I'll pay you X number of dollars. And you do it by faith. I mean, you take a step of faith. You're saying, okay, how many ever got a job where they said, we'll hold your paycheck for 2 weeks? Anybody ever had one of those? That means you're working for almost a month before you see anything. But what are you counting on? You're counting on a commitment. Somebody told you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you so much money, and we're going to hold your paycheck for 2 weeks. You'll get it in 4. And you're like, wow, that's really something. Is that how it works? Okay. But it's based on commitment. And I see us growing up in a world today where, yeah, there's a lot of transactional things that take place, and we understand the commitment there. But what about commitment between people? What about commitment to one another? What about commitment to Jesus? What about commitment to marriage? What about commitment to those kinds of things? It seems like we're afraid. And I liked it. I can't remember who told me this, but somebody told me, and it's somebody in this church. If you remember who it was, you can tell me. But they said, the reason why people are afraid to commit to something because a better offer might come. Hey, can you do this on Friday? Well, maybe, but a better offer might come. Hey, would you like to marry me? Maybe, but a better offer might come. Hey, would you like to have this job? I'm not sure, because a better offer might come. You know, and we keep pushing that goalpost down the road because a better offer might come. Well, all I can say to you is, in the meantime, until a better offer comes, not with your wife, but if a better offer comes about a job or a house, praise God, but make a commitment. Now, I thought about commitment myself recently, and I was going to share some pictures, but I thought, I better not. But I went skydiving here last summer with my daughters. My one daughter wanted to go skydiving when she turned 40, and so I said, I'll go. And you get in there, and here's what they do. They try to discourage commitment at the very beginning. They sit you down, and they show you these videos, and they say, hey, you could die. You could become paralyzed. The parachute might not work. The plane might come down. I mean, they give you all these things. They're basically saying, either commit or don't. And I'm giving you opportunity not to commit. And so I said, oh, no, I'll go. And so you watch the video, and they try to talk you out. Then they give you this paper that's got, I mean, it basically removes them from any responsibility whatsoever. You say, okay. And so you're taking these steps toward commitment. And then the guy said, okay, now we're going to get in the plane, and we're going to go all the way up. And he says, at any point, as we circle up to the, they went up about 10,000 feet. He says, as we circle up there, at any point, you get nervous or you want to give up, just say, I want to go down. And they'll take you down and give you your money back. At any point. Even at the time they open the door and you step out, he said, if you want to go back, all you got to do is turn around and say, no, no, no. And we'll take you back down. I said, okay, I'm in. And so you get in there and you start flying up, and then all of a sudden they're there. They open the door and you step out on this little pipe. I mean, it's like a pipe sticking there. And you put yourself out there on this pipe. And you're kind of sitting there, and the guy's, you know, I'm kind of tied to this guy behind me. I can still back out, even on that pipe. I can say to him, no, roll back in. But there's a point. There's a point where you roll off. And when you do, you're committed. There's no turning back at that point. You are 100% committed. And that's what I think of when I think of commitment. I think of, I'm in all the way. I'm all the way in. I'm not going to turn back. I'm just committed. And that's what I want to talk about. Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. That's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? And he's basically saying, you have to love him more than anything. You really cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without this kind of commitment. You can say, I met him, I know him, I kind of go to church once in a while, but he's looking for disciples. When Jesus told the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, go and make a convert. Don't get someone just to pray a prayer. Make a disciple. Someone who says, I'm going to go in. I'm all in for Jesus. And Jesus made that statement here. It's I call this the cost of serving God. Now, when I say that, I know that we're not paying our way into heaven. But there is a cost to commitment. There's a cost to me laying my life down and saying, from this day forward, something is going to change. Something is going to change in the whole direction of my life and what I think about and who I serve and the things that I love and the things that I care about and the things that I do with my life. It's changing now because I want to be a disciple. I want to follow Jesus. all the days of my life. And I can't go in just halfway. It's so hard, and some of you may have been there, where you're trying to serve God, but you got one foot in and one foot out. And it's a miserable place to be because you're not really in there all the way with the Lord, so you really can't experience the joy of what it means to be a disciple. But, you know, you can't really go in there full bore for the world, too, because you feel so guilty. And so I'm kind of over here and kind of over here. And you straddle the fence and you walk your entire Christian walk with no commitment. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you got to love me more than anything, or you can't be my disciple. I wonder if he came and looked at us in the eye today, each person, and said, you have to love me more than anything, or you can't be my disciple. Well, I go to church, Lord. That's not what he said. He said, love me more than anything, or you can't be my disciple. 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? If you lay the foundation, you're not able to finish it. Everyone will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build, he wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? See, there's this thinking this through. Am I really committed? Am I going to finish this tower? Am I going to be able to fight this enemy? And you count the cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. And if you go in halfway, chances are, you'll find yourself drawn away again. Drawn away. Deceived, easily deceived by the enemy. You know, when you jump out of that plane, it's almost like you're leaving behind any other option. The only option I have right now is to fly through the air and to land. But as long as you have one foot in and one foot out, you're leaving yourself that back door. I have another option. If this thing with Jesus doesn't work out the way I was hoping, I can always jump back in the plane. And you got to decide, are you going to jump or stay? There's not really any middle ground. Jesus doesn't let us, he doesn't let us off the hook with saying, hey, there's middle ground with me. He says, I would rather you are hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he said he would spew us out of his mouth. So it's a terrible place to be if we're in a lukewarm place. And so Jesus said in verse 33, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything. What's that mean in the Greek? Anybody know? Everything. Yeah, everything. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we walk around and live in caves? No, we have things. The thing is, do they have you? Amen. You know, I have things. I have this shirt, and I have these shoes. Praise God for that. It would be a terrible thing. I have this shirt, I have these shoes, but they don't have me. You know, if one day somebody came to me and says, hey, I really need your shirt, I would gladly give my shirt. I would gladly give it. There's nothing, I don't want anything in this world to hold me. That at any point, I would say, Jesus, I love you more than anything. More than anything. We sang a song today. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have it. And thank the Lord that he does give us great blessing, but does it own us? Does it own us? Or are we like these disciples where Jesus said, if you don't give up everything, you cannot be my disciple? That's a cost, isn't it? And you got to decide, am I willing to pay this price? How about Matthew 4? Verse 18, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. It's Matthew 4, 18. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. How many would love to hear those words from Jesus? Well, you have heard them. He has called you. You know, he's already said that. And he's saying, come and follow me. This is what it means to be a disciple. Come and follow me. And they said, and I will send you out to fish for people. That sounds bizarre, doesn't it? What does it mean to fish for people? It means that people are out here who are lost. They need Jesus. And instead of investing my life into fishing for fish for people. He was turning their heart to see God's view of the world. And so I will send you out to fish for people. At once, notice that word. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So you see, there was this cost. In a sense, part of me dies. Actually, all of me dies when I want to follow Jesus. Paul the Apostle put it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. The problem is we die hard. We don't like the thought of, oh, I'm crucified with Christ. I love him more than anything. I'm leaving everything behind. I'm laying my nets down. I'm laying my boat aside. I'm even leaving their father to follow Jesus. And see, it's like we don't really put a cost on people anymore. It's almost like we just want to pray a prayer and get into heaven. They need to realize, you know, you're surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. This is what he's looking for. Somebody who will be a disciple, a student, a learner for the rest of their life. I've been following Jesus for over 40 years now. You know what? I still have a lot to learn. Because I want to be a lifelong student, a lifelong disciple, a lifelong follower of Jesus Christ. But part of me has to die. I can't live my life and his. And maybe you didn't realize it. But on the day, however you got saved, whether you came to an altar or prayed with Billy Graham on TV or read a tract or sat down with your good friend in your back porch and you said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. You may not realize it, but on that day you jumped. You jumped out of the airplane. And now we just got to live it out. We got to say, Lord, let me keep my commitment. Just like when we get married and we stand here and we say, I'm going to be your husband for the rest of my life, for the rest of my life. Until Jesus returns. And I will be your wife for the rest of my life, better or worse. How many know that if you've been married long enough, you've had some better days and you've had some worse days? Anybody here have some worse days? But we keep commitment. That does not change our commitment. See, at this point, we're out of the airplane. We're flying down toward the earth. We cannot turn back around and jump into the airplane again. That's commitment. And when we talk about marriage, we're talking about commitment. Two people who say, I will be yours through thick or thin, better or worse, until the day I die.
I got a question.
Yes.
I got
a okay. I can't hear what she said.
Happily married?
Praise God. I tell you, there are struggles in the marriage, but it has to be based in commitment. And so today, as we renew these vows, they're basically renewing a commitment they made 5 years ago. We honor that and bless them. But I want you to see the bigger picture that this idea of commitment is a kingdom principle. My last scripture I'll share with you is found in Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ, Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think that word right there is the basis or the foundation for commitment. It is that the word of Christ is what directs up my life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, teaching and admonishing one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Verse 17, whatever you do, what's that mean in the Greek? Anybody know?
Whatever,
whatever you do. And what? How many of you know what is encompassed in that? Everything. Whatever you do. So if I have my 12-year-old son go out and cut the grass of my next-door neighbor, is that whatever you do? And you need to teach him to be committed. It's a hot day, Dad. I know, but you made a commitment. And you need to fulfill your commitment. Yeah, but Dad, they're only paying me $2 an hour. Did you say you would do it? Yeah, okay, for $2 an hour on a hot day, you need to do it. We let our kids off the hook too much. They're never going to learn commitment. It's to me, I'm seeing this bigger picture out here where kids, and I'm not trying to be, I got to guard my heart, I guess, a little bit here. I'm not trying to be nasty about it, but sometimes we're really doing harm to our children. If we don't teach them to be committed, to do the things you say you will do, even if it hurts, even if you have to squeeze a little bit. Because one day, that child is going to stand in front of somebody and say, I'm committed to be your husband. Have they even learned what commitment is? Thank you for that. Who up front here, would you? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying. We're talking about lifelong principles. And so teach your children while they're young. Teach them when they're 2 and when they're 3, when they're 5 and when they're 8. So that they grow up as a teenager or a young adult and they're saying, I'm committed. The things that I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do them. And I'm committed. It's a part of integrity. We want to see the next generation of marriages that take place stick together. Right? Now, how many here have gone through bad marriages? Let me see your hand. There's a lot of people. And that's water under the bridge. We're here today. This is where we are today. Going forward, let's remain committed. Let's be faithful. And let's try to guard this next generation of kids to say, you keep your word. Well, Mom, you didn't. Hey, I came to Jesus. Jesus forgave me. I'm keeping my word today. And I'm moving forward. I want to see the kids grow up and just be faithful and firm in their commitment to Jesus and in their commitment to marriage. So whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. In a sense, everything I do in life is a reflection of Jesus Christ. You know that? When I do my job, or whatever job you're in, work for the Lord. You're not working for that guy. He's paying you, but you're working for the Lord. And I'm telling you something, if you go out and do your job like you're doing it for Jesus, you're going to do a better job. It's true. If Jesus said to you, come and, you know, put this baseboard up at my house, you wouldn't just slap it together. You say, this is for Jesus. And every one of us in our job, we need to come into it with this thought. What I'm doing today, I'm doing for Jesus. It's for Him. Whatever I do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. And so He says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents. These are all words of commitment. Children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. See, he points us to the Lord in all these things. This pleases the Lord. Children, why should you obey your parents? Because it pleases Jesus. It puts a smile on the face of our Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This doesn't say don't discipline them. It says don't provoke them. And I think sometimes we can provoke our children by not bringing discipline. My children, I'm telling you, they love the fact that we disciplined them when they were children. There were times our children would come and say, "Dad, I need a spanking because X." And I said, "Praise the Lord for that. Come on in here." You know what I mean? But the point is, you can frustrate your children and provoke them by letting them get away with everything. That brings no peace to your home. And as parents, we need to be committed to our children enough to do sometimes what's a difficult thing. It's time for a spanking, honey. It is because I love you. Ron Riggs, I've given you a spanking before, haven't I? Well, you got one. I know that. George, you got one. We used to have a Christian school down here, and we've had to spank a few of the boys. And it's look how nice they are today. Bond servants, obey at everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service. What is eye service? That means when your boss is gone, you're kind of just hanging out. The boss comes around the corner, all of a sudden, man, you're diligent. And he's thinking, man, look at that good worker. Well, the only time he's working is when he sees you. As soon as you go around the other corner, he's back to loafing again. So don't do it with eye service, is what it says here. Not with eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ.